This is Grant Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is former U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, John Bolton, who is now at the American Enterprise Institute. We want to get his thoughts on the latest developments involving the Iranian nuclear crisis, including the revelation of a second major nuclear facility in Qom last week, as well as the missile tests over the past few days. In addition to that, of course, the talks in Geneva, allegedly about nuclear weapons between the Iranians and the Permanent Five Plus Germany this week. And Ambassador, it's always great to have you with us.
Well, thank you very much. Glad to be here.
Well, it was just a few months ago that Benjamin Netanyahu, the Israeli Prime Minister, was here in Washington, and he made it clear that the most important thing on the Middle East agenda ought to be stopping Iranian's nuclear program. He says once that's done, we can focus more on the Middle East peace process. President Obama saw it the flip side, that Middle East peace was the key to getting Iran to drop its nuclear program. Clearly, the timetable now would seem to suggest that that Netanyahu's timetable was probably a little bit more accurate than Obama's.
Well, I think that's right. I think that President Obama subscribes to what many people in Europe believe, that if you could solve or at least make progress on the Arab-Israeli front, a lot of other problems in the Middle East would be easier to solve. I think that's exactly wrong, and I think the Iranian nuclear weapons program is a good example of that. I don't think fundamentally Iranians care that much about the Palestinians or their fate or the negotiation over settlements or anything else. But I think Israel really does have an important point in recognizing that the Iranian nuclear weapons program is not simply a threat to Israel, although it certainly is. It is a threat to the Arab regimes in the region and to stability worldwide, because once Iran gets a nuclear weapons capability, its ability to assert hegemonic power over its nearby Arab neighbors will be dramatically enhanced. And so I think in that sense, pointing to the Iranian nuclear program as the central problem really is much more on target than Israeli-Palestinian matters.
Are we not hearing, Ambassador, about the objections and the concerns of the other Arab leaders that are definitely in opposition to Iran having nukes? Is that just being buried in our press, or are they just staying quiet about it?
No, I think they're quiet about it. I think they very much fear the leverage that nuclear weapons would give to Iran, but they're not really in a position to talk very much about it. That's unfortunate, frankly. I wish they would talk more publicly about it. But I think it's important to understand that, because a lot of people who are not well informed about the region say, oh my goodness, if Israel carries out a preemptive attack against Iran's nuclear weapons program, there'll be war in the Middle East and chaos, and oil prices will go through the ceiling. In fact, the Arab states, while they will certainly condemn Israel publicly, will privately be just as happy that Israel has solved the problem for them.
In terms of the announcement last week at the G20 summit, the president, as well as the leaders of Great Britain and France, seem to be much more stern, much more urgent in their attitude towards Iran as a result of this revelation about the new nuclear facility than they had been, although they had all talked about it at the previous G20 summit. Now they've kind of kicked the deadline for Iranian government to get in line down to December. Is there anything that happened as a result of Western reaction that's going to change course for Iran?
Well, I don't think so. Bear in mind that that our intelligence services had been watching this site for some time, and that's not unnatural. When you see a lot of activity buried in the side of a mountain, you can bet that it's not being conducted there for reasons that have to do with the peaceful use of nuclear power, that's for sure. And, you know, it was some time ago, we don't know exactly when, that they concluded it really was related directly to Iran's nuclear weapons program. So that for some time, I think that what's really interesting is that Obama's been talking about his open hand toward Iran. All the while, he knew they were creating additional clandestine facilities for nuclear weapons. So I think, ironically, now we've got a situation where, as you point out, the leaders of Britain and France are both talking a lot more directly and in tougher terms than they have before, just at the point where our administration is softening its line, which is a real mistake in my view.
One of the other things we noticed at that announcement in Pittsburgh was that it was those three leaders. The president, many believed, scrapped the missile shield in Eastern Europe, hoping that the Russians would come on board and getting tough on Iran. We did not see Dmitry Medvedev or Vladimir Putin on the on the dais with those other leaders. Does that suggest that we're not about to get the kind of cooperation we hoped for?
Well, I think that's exactly right. Not only were they not there, but Russian statements consistently over the past 2 weeks and after they were briefed about the Qum facility and after the public announcement have all been very lukewarm on the possibility of additional sanctions. Russia's been lukewarm. China's been pretty much silent, which maybe says even more. Moreover, the Russian statements, if you look at them over the last 3.5 years, have never really changed that much. They've never said they rule out sanctions against Iran's program. So the furious White House spin last week after the president met with Medvedev and after the announcement in Pittsburgh that suddenly the Russians were now more open to sanctions, it's just misreading what the Russians have been saying. They haven't changed their line in 3.5 years. So if on October 1, this coming Thursday, Iran basically stonewalls in Geneva and says, we're not going to negotiate on our nuclear program, and President Obama goes to the Security Council, I think he'll find the Russians and the Chinese doing just what they've done over the past 3 years when an Iran sanctions issue has come up. They will weaken and water down the sanctions. They'll drag the negotiations out. And at the end, even if the Security Council does pass another resolution, which is certainly possible, I think it will have, at best, a marginal effect on Iran and will certainly not stop them from pursuing nuclear weapons.
What's the best case scenario in Geneva realistically this week, Mr. Ambassador? How much could be accomplished and how much do you think really will?
Well, the big question is will Iran be forthcoming or will they stonewall? My guess, based on the comments we've seen so far, is that they'll stonewall, in which case we then move, according to the president, to sanctions. Although we should note that French President Sarkozy said they would give Iran until December to see if they're going to be forthcoming. So it's not exactly clear what the deadline is. In any event, deadlines on Iran have slipped, not just under the Obama presidency, but under President Bush as well. But let's say the Iranians are a little bit smoother than that and say, oh, we'll be happy to enter into negotiations. That just runs the clock out even longer because these negotiations, once they start, are very difficult to stop. So to me, Iran is the one holding the cards here. The real lesson of this, the revelation of this facility at Qum, is that the Iranians are much closer to a nuclear weapons capability than was publicly known before that announcement. Obviously, our government and others knew privately that Iran was much closer. But that even makes more inexplicable, as I've mentioned, why the president could have been talking about a negotiated outcome with Iran when he knew they were getting ever closer to actually having the weapon.
A couple minutes left with former U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, John Bolton. And Mr. Ambassador, you mentioned a moment ago that while Britain and France are getting a little bit tougher in their rhetoric, you think the U.S. is getting softer. For those who don't follow the nuances very closely, they'll perhaps think that, well, the Bush administration took a diplomatic approach. That's what the Obama administration is doing. What's the fundamental difference between the strategy of the two administrations?
Well, you're certainly right to ask that because much of the strategy is the same. The difference is that at the present time, Obama has even less reason than Bush did to think that the Iranians have any intention of being forthcoming, and yet he continues to pursue that line, saying as recently as the announcement in Friday and then in his Saturday address that Iran has to demonstrate that its program is for peaceful purposes and the burden's on them. And within a few days of that, his own defense secretary, Robert Gates, is saying, of course that facility at Qum is for military purposes. So there's a kind of naivete, I think, in the Obama approach and an unwillingness to see that this is a matter not of breaking treaty commitments or adhering to the safeguards agreement with the International Atomic Energy Agency. This is about power. This is about getting nuclear weapons and the international political power that provides. And I just have a feeling that in these negotiations, you've got a very, very tough, hardened Iranian regime, really more under military control now than theological control, up against a very naive and inexperienced American president.
Last question for former ambassador to the UN, John Bolton. And Mr. Ambassador, last few days we saw these variety of missile tests, war games from the Iranians. Some say that obviously the missile tests are preparation for potential use with a nuclear warhead. Others say, no, if they're going to use the nuclear weapons, they're probably going to just give them to one of their terrorist proxies like Hezbollah or so forth. What's your read on the significance of the tests over the past few days?
Well, I think clearly they do want a missile capability to deliver the weapons, but they would not hesitate to use their terrorist allies. I fear both routes, and I think that people have to understand that they're not testing these missiles because of an abstract interest in physics. These are warhead delivery systems, and the only economically feasible use for such a delivery system is to deliver nuclear weapons. So this points to the continuing, ongoing danger that Iran poses in its region, but to the U.S. and our friends and allies around the world.
And the clock keeps ticking. Mr. Ambassador, thank you as always for your time today.
Thanks for having me.
Former U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, John Bolton, now with the American Enterprise Institute. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.